But if you will take your Bible to Judges, all the way back to the book of Judges and chapter number 14. Judges chapter 14. Now, I am going to preach tonight and hopefully have a handful of messages on a topic that I don't really want to talk about, but I feel the Lord directed me towards. It's called emotions. How many have emotions? Yeah, we all have emotions, I know. Okay. But some of us have a lack of emotions, myself, but some of us maybe can't or have a hard time controlling emotions, or whatever the case would be for you. But tonight I hope it to be a help and a blessing to you in some way to just talk about, because the Bible has a lot to say about the topic of emotions. Now, growing up, you may have had, how many had a sibling growing up that was overly emotional? Anybody? Okay. You had, oh, see, we got a couple hands over here. Okay. Overly emotional. And others of you maybe didn't express your emotions very much. And both can be detrimental, we know. But the Bible speaks about emotions. The biblical definition of what is really a powerful force. Now, in the book of Judges, we're going to look at the life of an individual, you know his name, Samson. Samson was used of God, but he also was a man that had some problems, to say the least. And a lot of it stems and comes directly back to his emotional state of being or his lack of control in some of these areas. Now, let's begin here noticing chapter 14, it says in verse 1, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines." Now, just a side note, you recall God already commanded the nation of Israel to not marry or intermarry with other nations, okay? Especially the Philistines. The Philistines were a sworn enemy of the people of God. And verse 2, notice, "And he came up and told his father and mother and said, 'Mom and Dad, get this girl for me. I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me.'" Go get her for me. Get her for me to wife. "His father and his mother said unto him, 'Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?' And Samson said unto his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well.'" Get her for me. And you think about, we'll continue in a minute, Samson had a little bit of a problem controlling some of his emotions. Now, we know emotions are often misunderstood by most people. At times, these feelings can be overwhelming. They can be even uncontrollable. But we can gain control of our emotions, and we can see them used for the glory of God. Now, we ought to put our emotions in the right category. Now, you know the Bible says we ought to be angry. Then what does it say? And sin not. So we can be angry without sinning. That sounds a little strange, doesn't it? To me, it does. But we understand and see, we ought to be angry about the right things. You ought to be angry about abortion. You ought to be angry about people that are taking God's name in vain and using the church for other things and using God and the Word of God and defaming the name of Christ and defaming the Word of God and et cetera, et cetera. You understand? We ought to be careful about that. We know emotions are given by God and they're given for a purpose. They're not a weakness. They're not an indication of being weak. We have to see that. Now, I want you to write something down if you have a piece of paper and pen to think about here. But our emotions should be a gauge and not a guide. A gauge and not a guide. You know, so many people use it as a gauge. They use it as a guide, I should say, and not a gauge. Emotions are gauges, not guides. And you know, they let their emotions guide them. Well, if I don't like that, then I'm going to do that. If I get upset, then I can't help it. If I'm going to let jealousy take over, and I'm going to let pride take over, I'm going to let all these things come in and rule, and it becomes a guide for them. It leads them along, and it just like a chain about the neck, boy, and it just pulls them to the, you know, well, okay, I got to go this way. I'm upset, I'm angry, or I'm frustrated or discouraged, and I'm going to allow it to rule my life. No, notice, it should be a gauge. And by thinking of this, It's pointing out to us something that's off. Something's off. Something that takes place. Something comes into our life we don't agree with. Can often lead to jealousy or pride or something of that nature. And it indicates some things, right? We ought to be careful about that. Again, another statement that feelings are not facts, right? Feelings are not facts. You have feelings sometimes. In case in point, you remember when you were maybe a teen or in high school or something, and you had feelings for another person. And you thought, boy, this person is going to be the person. I mean, I just know it. I know I'm going to, you know, you don't think maybe that far ahead, but I know I'm going to marry that person or something of that nature. Feelings can deceive us, don't they? Feelings can greatly deceive us. Maybe for some of you that ended up being something that came true of maybe marrying that person or whatever the case would be. We've got to be careful of feelings. Now, this is why we caution against, and I know that there's some, we have a couple folks that will come to our church from time to time, and they've made the statement to me, and they say, Pastor Tim, now, I'm Pentecostal or charismatic in my background. And I don't shy away from that. I say, oh, okay, that's great. That's fine. But what we are against is that they promote and push a feeling over a fact. Well, I feel this, and I feel this way, and I feel that way. And we come back to, well, does it agree with the Scriptures? Because if it doesn't agree with the Bible, then we must be careful, because God has spoken to us in these days, in these last days, in these times that he's talking about right now, the age of grace, which we live in, by his Son, capital S-O-N, which is the Word of God. So we must be careful. Just emphasizing that a lot of people go off of feelings instead of the facts. Now, we're going to look at this in just a minute here. But using it as a gauge. Okay, Lord, I'm ticked. I'm mad. Okay, now we don't, what? We don't allow that to guide us. Oh, I can't control it. It's going to pull me to this side. Well, I had an elderly lady in one of the churches I worked at many years ago. And she'd always make the, she just said, you ever have people that just say, pardon my French, but the dumbest or stupidest things at the worst time, you know? Somebody's hurting her and they say something that's not very helpful. But she would always say something just boneheaded. And she'd always say that, well, I just say it like it is, you know, I just say it like it is. That's not right, is it? I think a lot of it comes back to she had no control over some of those emotional things. I just want to say it like it is. And you think about it, now, we allow those emotions to become a gauge for us. Okay, well, something upset me, I'm mad. Now let me assess the situation. Now we see in our scripture here that Samson should have used that and done that in several occasions in his own life. And we see here that we should express our emotions. It's healthy. You know that we are to express our emotions, and it's almost a gratifying experience. A lot of people, that some of you folks have gone through some horrific things in your life, and you've had a time of grieving, and that's a healthy thing. You know, anybody will tell you that. To grieve is a healthy thing. It releases something within us. So we see that. Now, people around us may have shaped the way we express ourselves. You grew up with a parent that maybe never expressed emotions or overly expressed a certain emotion. That shaped the way you are. It shaped the way you express your own emotions. Let me jump ahead a couple of these things. Now, let me say this. The only remedy to correct our emotional expressions is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. The correct way. The only correct way to express ourselves is coming back to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Now, we find the evidence of the Spirit-controlled emotion or emotional person or the emotions of a person, particularly in Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. There's love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all these things. There's 9 fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And it talks about the person and what we should express and what the evidence of a Spirit-controlled emotion should be. Now, the Bible has a lot to talk about. The Bible talks about fear and anger, talks about jealousy, talks about pride, talks about hate, lust, love, joy, peace. We could go on and on. And so many characters throughout the Bible exemplified these emotions. We can go all the way back to the beginning and you see and you know and understand that Eve and even Adam and what took place. Thinking about that. Sometimes we let pride and other things get in. We think about Abraham at one time. Abraham, instead of trusting God, he went down into Egypt for help instead of trusting the Lord. We see Isaac as he acted based upon favoritism of his older son. And in essence, it ruined the family, didn't he? He gave the blessing ultimately as he was deceived. He gave the blessing to the younger son. And by the way, again, we saw this earlier, but Isaac went off of feeling instead of fact. He, remember, he felt the arm and he had, remember what Jacob did, put hair on his arm. What's he say? You feel like Esau, but you sound like Jacob. And he should have gone off of the sound or the word, right? Not off of the feeling. But he talks about some of these, so many characters in Scripture. We know that. Esau gave his birthright away. Why? Because of an uncontrolled appetite. Not only a physical appetite. He was hungry. But also he couldn't control it. He said, I don't give a rip what the birthright. I don't care about that. I'm hungry. Jacob deceived his brother and his father because of prideful intentions. We see Jacob and his boys, or particularly his sons, would later kill many men, an entire city of men, out of jealousy and anger because you recall they had taken advantage and raped their younger sister. And they went in and they were not supposed to do that. That was against the will of God and caused, as Jacob would later say, you've caused our family to stink in this area we're in. Basically that they're all angry with us where we are and where we're living. Jacob's boys, you know, they got rid of Joseph, their younger brother. They lied that he had been killed by a vicious animal. And they did it all out of what? Jealousy. Jealousy. They hated Joseph. They couldn't stand him because his father favored him. You know that Moses killed a man. Moses killed a man, didn't he? He was trying to do the right thing, but out of a little bit of hatred, a little bit of anger, he killed an individual and had to flee because of it. We know David sinned out of lust, didn't he? Couldn't control an appetite that he had, was in the really wrong place at the wrong time. Solomon turned from following God because of that lustful appetite, just like his father. Absalom turned against his father out of resentment and pride and all these other things. Peter denied the Lord because of fear. Thomas doubted because of really pride, if you will. Paul persecuted believers because of hatred in his heart. What he thought was a religious push was really a foolishness on his part. Elijah ran and hid out of fear because of Jezebel. And so many we could go through, and I won't read all of them. But you know that. These individuals, now we look at them, and they're truly saints, aren't they? They're the people we look to as we read the Bible. I could never be like Abraham. I could never be like a Moses. I could never, maybe for you think about, be like a Hannah or somebody, or Mary or something. I could never be like that. Oh, yes, you could. They dealt with the same issues in a lot of ways that we deal with and have dealt with in our own lives. So, thinking about it, how am I supposed to handle these things? How am I? Can I say, first of all, would you be cautious and careful that you would take a little inventory when something does arise in your heart of an emotional thing and ask the question first, is it fiction or is it reality? Is it fake or is it real, right? Sometimes you think about, if you're like me, have you ever been maybe laying in bed or you're driving on the road or you're traveling, you're kind of just staring or thinking, and a situation will pop up in your head, a mock situation. Well, if they ever said that, boy, I would let, you know. Boy, if they ever did that, I would just, this is what I would. And you catch yourself and go, what in the world? Why am I even thinking that? And sometimes if we're not careful, we can even get into really violent things, you know. You ever had a dream that you just wake up from and go, man, how could I have done that? How could I have thought that, dreamed that? Again, is it fiction? Is it real? Is it something that should be handled and handled? If it doesn't, then let it go. By the way, about 98 point whatever percent should be let go. Now, there's a lot of transgressions in our lives and people say things to us that maybe ought to handle, but a lot of it, we ought to let it go. And you know that and think about it. There's truth to this. Is it a reality? Is it going to be, secondly, is this emotion that I'm going to maybe express in a way, a benefit to me or a detriment? Well, is this going to benefit our marriage or is it going to be a detriment? Is it going to be harsh? Is it going to cause turmoil and other things around us and in my life? Just some things to think about. Now, I am thinking about this tonight, and I want to get into our text here. That was just the introduction. All right. We're going to get into the text here. I won't belabor this too much here. Notice with me, first of all, as we come back to Judges 14. We see, first of all, that we must, one, submit our emotions under the direction and authority of the Word of God. Now, we understand that prior to this, as you go throughout, Moses has already written because of and by God and from God, given the words, given the direction, given the commands of God. And one of them was that they were not to intermarry with those enemies of God. They were not to associate with the enemies of God. Well, shouldn't they have been nice to the Philistines and trying to reach them? Well, yeah, but here's the thing. God already put a command down. It said, don't have anything to do with them. God was working in these nations already, and we see it in one of the cases I just read as they approached one of the cities. Any city they approached, kids, listen up. Listen, okay? Any city that they approached, they would what? They'd offer peace to them. He said, declare peace to the city. And the city would say, well, we don't want peace. We want nothing to do with you. So in essence, you think about, there's reasons behind this and many more reasons why God said have nothing to do with these people. Now, first of all, notice, we submit our emotions under the direction and authority of the Word of God. He didn't do this. If he'd known the Bible, if they'd known the Scriptures, which his parents apparently tried to explain to him, isn't there, verse 3, a woman among thy brethren? Yes, Mom and Dad, you were right, you were close, but you missed it still. Isn't there a woman among our people that you could marry? And he says, what? Get her for me. Get her for me. For she, what? Pleaseth me well. She pleaseth me. There it is. Pleasure. Pleasure. Now, again, one of the marks, we looked at this in the book of 2 Timothy on Wednesday nights. One of the marks or characteristics of the end times of these men, these evil, wicked men, is what? They cannot control that. They seek after pleasure. They're controlled by pleasure. They're men pleasers, but they're also self pleasers. And he says, she pleased me well. He's going off of feeling again, instead of the fact. And the fact is the Bible. The fact of the matter is the Word of God. The fact is that we ought to be following the Word of God. Now, here's the thing. You've got to know the Word in order to follow it. You've got to know the Bible in order to follow it. I'm still learning the Bible. I don't have anything under wraps yet. I don't have it all in my head. I'm still learning. But you think about it, we ought to be reading, studying, memorizing, working at the Word of God. We've got to know what to do. Paul says in Philippians 4:6, as you recall, he says, be careful for nothing. Well, the word careful there means do not worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make what? Your requests made known unto God. He says, don't worry, don't fret, don't lose sleep over something, but rather give it to God and say, God, I give it to you. I hand it to you. And by the way, pray that exact prayer when you come into a situation of worry, anxiety, you're thinking about some bills that are coming up, you're thinking about a relationship, you're thinking about something you got to handle here this week. Don't fret and worry over it. Give it to God and pray, God, I give you this, dot, 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 whatever it is, I give it to you. Take it from me. Take it off of my back and off my shoulders, and I give it to you. And you now watch what God will do. Be careful for nothing. Here we go. We're submitting ourselves and our emotions to the Word of God. He says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 5. 2 Corinthians 10. But he says, casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. Every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. Let me get there before I fumble it up. 2 Corinthians 10. Again, just thinking about, we're submitting ourselves and our emotions to the Word of God. Note, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, having in all readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. But he says what? Bring into captivity every thought. You have a thought? Oh, there's some things that pop in our heads we can't control. Thought, okay, immediately give it to God. Cast down imaginations. That word imaginations, you understand? It means made up stuff. It means imaginative things, right? Cast those down. If they're exalting themselves, if the thoughts you're having, if the imaginations you're having are exalting against the knowledge of God, because God is holy, God is righteous, God is pure, God is truth, God does not lie, God does not deceive you, God is not half-hearted. What He does, He finishes. His best intentions are in mind for you and for your spouse and for your children and everything, isn't it? All those things that He is constantly in a barrage from the world, constantly beat against the door from the world. God is not faithful. God is not holy. God doesn't care about you. God doesn't care about what you went through. God won't be there for you. No, those are lies. And Paul says to the church at Corinth, cast those down and bring into captivity. You have control. Give it to God. Are you submitting your emotions, your feelings, your thoughts to the Word of God? Come back. This is why I encourage you, and I know you do this, but memorizing Scripture, because you begin to hear and get to know the voice of God. Not an audible voice, but you know the Bible. You memorize it. And you need verses that come through when you're going through emotional things, when you're going through something difficult. You need a verse that'll pop up. You don't need to hear what Dr. Phil has to say, what Oprah has to say on the subject. You don't need to hear those things. You need to know what the Word of God, you need to know what Paul said, Peter, and John, right? Casting down. But notice with me secondly, we'll wrap it up here. Ignorance of the Word, well, it puts us in danger of transgression. Puts us in danger of transgression. Now, the story goes, his father and mother, they obviously get this gal, and they do some things. Notice verse 5, they went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, young lion roared against him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid or a young goat. He had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father and his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And verse 8, after time he returned to take her. And he returned to turned aside to see the carcass of the lion that he had killed. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother and gave them. And they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So kind of an interesting story. But let me emphasize this again. The Jews were expressly commanded not to touch dead things. Okay. Not to have any part of dead animals, dead bodies. If a person died, they would take the body, they would put the oil and spices on the body and wrap it up, as they did in Jesus' time, we see later, and they would bury the body or put it in a cave or something of that nature. But to mess around and touch a dead body of an animal or a person, it was a no-no. It was directly commanded by God not to do. Now, Samson, he kills this lion that jumps out at him. And because of his supernatural strength that he had, he killed the lion. You know the story. And he throws the lion to the side. Well, he comes back through again and he finds that the bees had made a little hive in the carcass, obviously probably in his rib cage or something. And he didn't think anything of it. He thought, hey, man, that looks good to me. And he took some of the honeycomb and took a bite of it and everything else. But I'm talking about here, he transgressed. He wasn't supposed to do that. And then he came and gave it to his parents. Well, where'd you get this honey from? Well, here you go, eat this, and they ate of it as well. So you think about now, Samson was ignorant of the Word. He didn't know the Word. He didn't know the commands. Ignorance of the Word puts us in danger of transgression and also affects the people around us. Now, coming back to this and thinking about the emotional state of a person, we must submit our emotions to the Word of God, and we must be aware of what the Bible says so that we do not transgress, one, and we don't affect other people around us. How many times have our emotions affected, and it usually does, the people around us, doesn't it? the loved ones around us, and all of that. We'll get into some of this a little deeper next week as we look through this. And he reacts, and his actions and reactions were not under the authority of Scripture. And they affected those around him. We'll look some more next week at chapter 15. But just to give a little bit of a preview here, you know, he goes and the Philistines, they want to come out at him. And they don't like Samson, by the way. The Philistines hated the Jews. They still hate the Jews today. They're the Palestinians. Those are the Philistines. They hate the Jews. In fact, right now, they're shooting rockets into Jerusalem as we speak. Constantly. Why? They hate. Because they believe the Jews took their land, came and took what was rightfully theirs, blah, 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 blah. There's all these things that you got to study it for yourself. But they hated the Jews, and they hated Samson. And he came in and took one of our girls. That's what they said. And they didn't like him. And so they begin to persecute Samson, and Samson gets upset. And he takes some fire brands and ties them on the tails of some foxes, and he lets them run out into the field. And those little foxes burn up the entire field, burns up all their wheat, all their corn, whatever they were doing there. And they don't like that. But Samson, in a fit of anger and a little bit of a temperament, he reacts in that way. Now, we think about our emotions submitted to the Word of God. Are you seeking daily to know what God has for you, what God desires for you, and how He has it? He has a plan for each one of us. These emotions that we have are not something that are evil or wrong. God gave them to us. But again, as we said, and I hope you study for yourself, these emotions are what? Gauges for us and not guides. They shouldn't rule your life. They shouldn't have overwhelming power in your life. They are to be a gauge. To say, okay, you know what? There's something there that is not right. Something there that upset me. Something of that nature. What is it? And how can I fix it? And then we come and we say, Lord, I don't know what this is about, this emotion, but I seem to not have a good control over it. So I submit myself to the Word of God. And I want you to reveal to me through the Bible what it is and how I can have better control and how I can submit myself to that. Okay? So thinking about that. Now, I'll stop there for tonight. But I encourage you this week to study that topic of emotions and look at these characters in the Bible who every person in Scripture struggled in some form or fashion, outside of Jesus Christ, of course, struggled in some area of an emotion. Right? You remember Martha and Mary, the two sisters? Lord, tell her to help me out. She's just sitting there listening to what you're saying. And he says, well, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about with many things. Mary hath chosen the good part. You think about that. I love the characters in Scripture because we can identify with them. Amen? All right. Thank you for coming this evening, and I pray you spend time in your Bible this week. Please don't neglect that, and don't forget to do that. It's easy to do. Spend time in your prayer closet, spending time with God, asking Him to help you, your family, and especially, folks, can I encourage you, pray for your loved ones and their salvation. Really do pray for them. Don't give up on your family, maybe your children, your grandkids, your brothers and sisters. I don't know who it is. Don't give up praying for them that they'd be saved. It's possible if we'll stay at it. Intercessory prayer. Pray for those folks. Amen. All right. Lord, thank you for this time tonight. I praise you for these folks. These people are so sweet. I know they walk with you, and I praise you for that. What a topic to think about tonight. But we see many in the Scriptures of people and individuals, God, that did lose their emotions or allowed emotions to really guide them or rule in their hearts from time to time. We're not exempt from that, Lord, and it will happen to us this week, no doubt. And we pray you'd help us, God, to allow those emotions not to guide us or rule us or have control over us, but may we use them as a guide, as an indicator to really ultimately draw closer to you. And we pray for your help to submit ourselves to the Word of God and to the will of God. We love you and thank you for another day to be in your house. Pray you bless us now. Guide us this week, Lord. In Jesus' name and amen.